for some time and for some time to come. I intend to keep pulling what I call gems of truth for a modern age out of the Old Testament book of Exodus. We saw the price that God exacted in dedication in the fourth chapter, in the conflict between Moses and his wife. Fifth chapter. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, to intensify the nature of the demand, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert." And God intended to lead him all the way to Canaan. Later, God intended to deliver him out of Egypt completely. Later. This time, all he's asking is 3 days' journey to worship. And God knew Pharaoh would say no. Well, why the exercise? Well, lots of reasons. You'll see. They said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Give you under your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore, but let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tally of the bricks which they did make heretofore ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle." Therefore they cry, saying, "Let us go and sacrifice to our God." They got time to go worship 3 days, then they aren't working hard enough. "Let there be more work laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." They've been listening to the preacher. Don't even give them time to do it. Punish them for doing it. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get ye straw where you can find it, yet not all of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily task is where there was straw, or when there was straw, do the same." And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore?" Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten, and the fault is thine own people." I have several things to say about this thus far. God has a way of showing that people get what they deserve. He let Pharaoh demonstrate this little futile exercise. He let Pharaoh demonstrate for thousands of years of history to see what kind of person he really was. Now, if God had come through Moses and said to Pharaoh, first cat out of the bag, let all my people go. We are marching to Sinai to worship God en route and going back to Canaan. You could almost feel sorry for Pharaoh if he'd say no to that. Do you understand it? The whole workforce of the nation taken in one fell swoop. You're not a worshiper of God. You could learn to fear him, but you could expect a knee-jerk reaction. Well, I can't afford to let all of them go forever. But 3 days to worship their God, that's a pretty reasonable request. Some people have it and some don't. Some people are incapable of being rescued. Some people God could deal with them through eternity and they never change. Their gears weren't put in right in the first place. And God lets us see, and all history see, that what he later does to Pharaoh, Pharaoh had coming. In the natural, Pharaoh's a fool to not release him for 3 days to go out and worship their God. But God knew he wouldn't. Told Moses he wouldn't. I know a lot of preachers and a lot of Christians that wouldn't even go ask him. Well, if you know he's not going to say yes, why are we asking him anyway? Like those people that I tell you about that wouldn't dig holes until they were told why they were digging holes. Somebody go up to the mix on this mic and balance it a little better. And my sound crew, because you are cutting it out with either too much bass or too much treble, it's not mixed right. Now, it's been a long time since I've told you how I used to hire people when I was in Oroville. I'd get a box of nuts and bolts and leave it alone. You got the mic right. Just don't touch anything. I'd get a box of nuts and bolts, nails, screws, mix them all together in a box. We had a gravel parking lot. I'd go out and throw them all over the parking lot. Say, now, sort them out and put them in the box. After they, their first job when they came to work was to do that. Now, when they got them all sorted, got them in the box, real eager, first job. I'd go look at it. Now, I'd throw it out on the ground and say, sort it again. Most of them didn't last the second throw. I didn't hire them for a specific purpose. They just wanted a job. They were getting paid the same. Short nuts, nails, bolts, screws. They didn't want a job. They wanted God to pay them so they could do what they wanted to do. They wanted to do what they thought was important. And what they saw the sense in. They'd come to help me do what they thought I should do. I had a secretary once. She told me she had better things to do than sit and wait for me to get ready to give her a job. I mean, you know, she was sitting in her office and I wasn't quite ready to dictate to her yet. I said, well, you just sit at attention until quitting time. And don't bother me again or get out of here. you got. Good riddance. I hate people like that. That's what's wrong with this generation. Think the world owes you something fair. Think the world, if you're going to work for God, you got to have something that makes sense. I mean, you got to be able to see the holy bells ringing in eternity once every hour. 80 years God trained Moses to go and tell Pharaoh to do something that he, God, told Moses Pharaoh wouldn't do when he told him to do it. And what God didn't tell him is, in addition, Pharaoh would punish the people horribly for having been asked. That adds insult to injury. You're my deliverer, Moses. I call you from a burning bush. Kill you on the way if you don't quickly understand how important this calling is. Yes, sir. Now go tell the Pharaoh to do something and he won't do it. He not only won't do it, he didn't tell him this. Don't punish the people for having asked. And then I want to show you how stupid most people of God are, because they have no comprehension of the enemy of God's work. These fools, notice it's the officers of the children of Israel, probably a deacon board. They aren't domitah, they aren't call, they've been there running around bossing the people in their servitude. The deliverer comes along, delivers a message from God, and it didn't come out right. I mean, the minute that God starts his deliverance work, everything goes wrong. But these stupid officers, the children of Israel, thought that Pharaoh must not know what his officers are doing to the people. I want you to think about that for a minute. The officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? Why are you doing this to us?" You know, there's a certain penalty to going far and wide on radio and television. I mean, I'm no longer just talking in my own house. I'm guest in other people's houses, so I've got to watch my language. These fools. Wherefore? Why? They cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Why dealest thou thus with thy servants? There's no straw given unto thy servants," as if Pharaoh didn't know. He gave the order. "And they say to us, 'Make brick.' Your dirty lieutenants are doing things to us you must not know about. Your servants say to us, 'Make brick.' And behold, thy servants, us, our people, are beaten. Beaten because we can't make as many bricks, having to gather our own straw, as we did when straw was provided. The fault is thine own people. Dealing with a demon-possessed, straight from the pit of hell, under the control of Satan, potentate, and trying to reason with him." It's like trying to carry on a discussion with a fundamentalist. You radio people, relax. My microphone fell down. One of Pharaoh's servants created this microphone. I mean, I want you to notice that the part you can see on television, the part that's supposed to go under the edge of your shirt, has got the cord coming out. So you've got to somehow jab the cord in under your shirt to tickle your boobs. you try to make that thing stay there. It isn't that this child of bondage is the problem. If you have any understanding of Scripture, you know what the child of bondage is. It's that you're fool enough to try to reason with them. These officers of Israel, leaders that haven't been called. Boy, the Israelites were in real good hands with these kind of officers who actually believed that Pharaoh didn't know what his lieutenants were doing to them. And they could get an audience with Pharaoh, and when he heard what his lieutenants were doing and answered the question, "Why are you punishing us like this?" Well, he'll straighten up this mess. They had more faith in Pharaoh than they did in God. They saw Pharaoh's power. And like a vacuum cleaner, it sucked them in to try to get him on their side. They didn't see God's power. Oh, for the ability to recognize the enemy and deal with him as an enemy. Well, he sure shattered their illusions. Pharaoh said, "You're idle. You're idle. Therefore, you say, 'Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord.' Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tally of bricks." And the officers of the children of Israel did see, after Pharaoh spoke, did see that they were in evil case. I mean, they were in a mess. They were up the proverbial creek without a paddle. After it was said, "Ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task," they were surprised, totally surprised, that the call of God got them in a mess. Can we say that again? Deliverance was nigh, and all hell broke loose on them. Their call pastor told them deliverance had come. And punishment outpoured. And they tried to put some reason into it. Why is this happening to me? You know, the pastor really excited me. Well, you read the end of the previous chapter. Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. 29th verse, 4th chapter. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. They had prayed. God said to Moses and to Aaron in the wilderness, "I've heard their prayer. I'm sending you to deliver them." They came. They worked signs from God as God had promised. And all hell broke loose on them. And they tried to reason it out. why is this happening to us? I mean, the pastor told us, deliverance is nigh. We can take the whole world now if we'll move in faith. And I made a pledge. Went outside, my house burned down. Why? Why is this happening to me? Why is everything going wrong? Go find some carnal pharaoh to talk to. I mean, there's bound to be somebody on this earth that can sort it out for you. When will people of God ever understand when God calls you the prince of this world, has minions galore at his beck and call, both people and superhuman demons, to attack you on all fronts, and you're still trying to ask why it's happening? Boy, I ain't making any more pledges. I know what happened the last time I made one. And when you can't reason it through, and the reality that you're calling has got you in a mess, a war, demon oppression, and the world, the flesh, and the devil against you, having been convinced they were in a mess, they met Moses and Aaron, verse 20, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. That's the problem of a faithful servant of God. They're always standing in your way as you've done your little number to try to, in the flesh, solve your problems. And they said unto them, to Moses and Aaron, these elders of Israel, the Lord look upon you and judge. May the Lord do a number on you, because you've made our savor, our smell, to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put us, or to put a sword in their hand to slay us. Poor, poor me. I'm a pastor. I forever make the world hate you by laying the call of God on you. And when the persecution comes, isn't it awful that a man of God has made their savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh? That's what's wrong with most Christians. They want to smell good to the world. They stunk before as they stink now to Pharaoh. He always thinks they stink. Well, go ahead and be a stinker for Jesus. Quit bellyaching about your problems. The message of chapter 5 is very simple. God called you. All hell's going to break loose on you. Isn't that an encouraging message? I'll finish it if you want me to when I get back. Get on the phone. I am lifting gems out of the book of Exodus, chapter by chapter, and making those old truths apply to today. So don't take any more calls for a few minutes. Moses and Aaron arrived on the scene at the close of the fourth chapter, delivered the message of God that he was going to keep his promise to Abraham, bring him out of Egypt, perform miracles in their sight. They believed and worshiped. Then Moses obeyed God, went to Pharaoh, and said, let my people go 3 days into the wilderness to worship. A very reasonable request. God had told Moses, Pharaoh would say no. He did. He did worse. He ordered punishment on them. for having been asked. Gather your own straw to make bricks, and the tally stays the same. And Pharaoh's officers beat him and persecuted him and worked hardship on him. And the leaders of the children of Israel were surprised. And they looked for a natural answer, not a faith answer, a natural answer. It must be that Pharaoh doesn't know what his lieutenants are exacting from us. So let's go to Pharaoh and cry unto him, why are you allowing this? You're blaming us when it's your guys that are to blame. They took the straw away. Why did God do this? Well, he smoked out Pharaoh. And he smoked out the uncalled leaders of Israel. I've been for a half hour trying to keep from calling them what they really are. They're asteroid orifices. They don't know they're asteroids from a hole in the ground. There are a lot of church leaders like that in the world today. Sweet-talking reasoners with the world. Shocked that the call of God put burdens on them. And when they couldn't reason with Pharaoh, then they cursed their real leader, because he had made their savor, I like that, their savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, as if Pharaoh's nose meant anything. But furthermore, you know, smelling with his eyes is sort of a strange little analogy there. I mean, it's got to be a pretty bad smell when it affects your eyes. That's real bad. They remind me of most Christians who think nothing about them smells. They just don't stink. Nothing about them. In or out of them. Nothing. Not everybody sees in the Bible what I see. Does that remind you of most Christians? We had a street word for it. I've been a phrase. I've come as close as the law will allow me. Could this be happening to us? Just because we wanted to worship God. So they curse Moses and Aaron. Thank God for them when the excitement of the first message came. But oh, the price of responding to the message made us stink before Pharaoh. Hurt his eyes. The Lord look upon you and judge, because you made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh. even hurts the eyes of his servants. So bad that puts a sword in their hand to slay. It's awful to smell so bad somebody wants to kill you. They got under Moses' skin. More than anything else, Moses has been an example to me of what not to do. I mean, he was a great leader. Greatest man to stand on the stage of history up to his time. But he made some fatal mistakes. He let the people affect him too much. He was too sensitive to them. I suppose that's the price of being God's leader, but you better not let it make you make mistakes. The only mistakes that Moses made in his whole ministry is when he let the people get to him. And it ultimately cost him the promised land. When they made him so mad, he told the truth, said, "You rebels," and struck the rock the second time and ruined God's pattern of the types. Because Christ was only to be smitten once. But he lets them get to him. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, and the only thing that makes Moses different than the people, even though he made a mistake here, at least he knew who to talk to. These other leaders talked to Pharaoh instead of God. At least Moses knew who to take his complaint to. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people?" Well, I think they deserve it. But they saw what they did, they deserved it. They still thought too highly of Pharaoh. I mean, they'd have had a wake on the edge of the Red Sea crying about him. They continue in the same state of mind. "Wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people?" Moses knew who to talk to. The other leaders didn't. He also knew who was causing it. These dumb asteroid orifices, uncalled leaders of Israel, thought it was the lieutenants of the Pharaoh doing it. I mean, they couldn't even rise to the level of understanding Pharaoh was the instrument used by God to do it. Moses at least understood who was the cause. Nothing happens that God doesn't allow. Nothing. Well, but at least Moses knew who to talk to and knew who it was that was doing it, so if anybody could be persuaded not to do it, you better talk to the guys doing it. "Wherefore hast thou, God, so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me?" Boy, I understand that question. You know, I'll be on Social Security next year. Can't hardly wait. I qualify for Medicare next year. I never had a health insurance my whole life. I'm going on Social Security. Why in hell try to reach the world? Why, for hast thou sent me to cause all these people to suffer like they're going to suffer to get this job around the world? I mean, you know, they could buy new cars, boats, vacations, homes. Do you realize, Lord, they're just getting on their feet after Hope Street? Why is it that thou hast sent me? The hell with the world. I'm going on Social Security. I ain't got no wife, ain't got no kids. Social Security take good care of me. What's that? Need let the world go to hell. Ain't done nothing for me. And the Lord tells me that he died for him and sent me to tell him about it. Don't trouble me with the truth. Times like these don't cloud my Social Security with the truth. Just think of it. Next year, I'll be on Social Security. Don't even think I'll almost gonna be feel good to get sick. The government will pay for it. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Oh, yeah, God. If it weren't for me, you'd probably kill them. I got to stand between God and this people. Why is it that thou hast sent me? If you hadn't sent me, their lives wouldn't be messed up. They'd still be making straw till they die, or making bricks with straw. I mean, you've ruined their future. They had something to look forward to. They could make bricks with straw till they died. And I've ruined it for them. Now they got to make bricks without straw unless they gather it. And there's some things you ought to leave alone. The works don't fix it. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. And you ain't delivered them either. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Why did you send me here to preach to these people? That give to God for the teaching that you've received, and the Holy Spirit will reap a harvest of life eternal for you. Well, you can make me come down here and sit in this stupid chair and look at this stupid camera and tell them that you said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, I don't pour out a blessing you can't contain. Why do you make me tell him, turn to the Lord, he'll turn to you? Why did you send me to tell him to follow me as I follow Christ? And why did you send me to tell him that you said go into all the world? All I've done is ruin their life. You don't care for them, God. I care for them. You haven't delivered them at all. Let me go on Social Security. So that all of us can live on Social Security. And die. And say, where's my eternal rewards? Then, next chapter. The Lord said, his turn now. Looks pretty foolish, doesn't it? Look just as foolish today as it did those many thousands of years ago. What do you want to do? Look forward to a life of making bricks with straw. Don't risk making the world and the devil mad. Might have to make bricks with straw you gather yourself. Comfortable. At least you can eat some leeks and garlic when you go home at night. Have a kid and have some Pharaoh kill him. And there's great things going on around here. Don't disturb me with God's call. Looks pretty stupid, doesn't it? I tried it on Hope Street, and I know what happened. Let me give you an absolute ironclad, never-changing guarantee. Try it again, and it'll happen again. You'd be glad you did when you get to heaven. Now get on telephone.